So, like, take off to the great white north.
Beauty.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off, you hosers.
Hey guys, welcome back to Hosers. This is episode 91. I'm your host, Chris Killingsworth, and joining me as always is my friend, Thomas Williams. How you doing, Thomas?
How's it going, Chris?
It's going well.
I had to do
my glasses. I'm pretty bummed out, but
I had to do the Carter intro. It's okay. Carter, Carter fell off a cliff hiking with his girlfriend. So
yep, never to be seen again.
R.I.P.
Way it goes.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm better than your glasses right now. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a hangout, just a chill night. So can't ask for too much.
I like it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That sounds good. We have a friend joining us today, Tony Ferrari of the Hockey News / Sports Illustrated. Is there one that comes before the other, Tony? How does that normally work?
So I was told I have to put the hockey first, but I very often put Sports Illustrated first because as much as I respect both, it's just cool to say I work for the hockey or Sports Illustrated.
Yes.
The Hockey News is awesome too, but I'll always kind of sneak it in there like, yeah, Sports Illustrated, it's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. A little brag. I'm not even going to stay humble about it.
I mean, it's pretty cool, man. We're excited to have you on. I know you and Thomas had been talking about coming on a little bit after the draft, which I think this is good timing now that some of the dust is settled and we're into how it's changed on your end. How did you enjoy the draft and how are you feeling about things?
I feel good. Like I think I said it all year. It was going to be a weird draft. There's going to be players picked all over the board and it wasn't going to be anything that anyone expected. So I think I nailed that part, despite the fact that my rankings look completely garbage compared to what actually happened, much like everyone else. But it was weird for me this year because I left Auburn prospects right before the draft, 2 weeks before the draft. And I didn't have the new gig yet. So I got to watch the draft as a fan. I could tweet out what I wanted to, but I didn't have to feel like obligated to do that day after article or anything. It was a little bit more relaxed. And I haven't had that during draft for a couple years.
Absolutely.
Now.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do what we do anytime we have a guest on and learn a little bit more about how you got into hockey. But I was hoping you'd touch on how you got into the drafting side and the scouting side. I'll let you take it from there, wherever you want to go with it. How did you get into it?
Well, I got into hockey because I was never actually able to play it. I loved the sport and I play it now as an adult, a little bit in beer leagues and stuff like that, but I was never able to afford it as a kid. So I was just obsessed with this sport where when you look at it at the base level, it's 10 guys on the ice, excluding the two goalies, who have knives on their feet. And
are you there, Thomas? Did we just lose him?
Yeah.
Oh no.
You're just too excited.
He's like, they've got knives on their feet and he's gone.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Tony will be coming back, I'm sure, but
we're just going to keep rolling.
Too perfect. Too perfect.
He's just so hyped up about
his
childhood love of hockey. And then just grew. I should probably check my Twitter DMs.
These things happen.
So funny.
I wouldn't be too worried about it.
I wonder if he's just going off still.
I'm sure he knows, but that's funny. Tony, wherever you are, we hope you're safe.
The good thing
these
about
things
it
tend to happen
is that we can still, even if like he never comes back, we can still have the podcast like title like featuring Tony Ferrari.
yeah he was in true Ferrari form here today and gone shortly thereafter. That's how these things go. He'll be back. I'm confident. In the meantime, we haven't recorded an episode in a while. Sorry about that. Carter is actually in the bush, which is exciting. You guys know that Carter gets lost every summer and we only hear from him sporadically because he's like hiking and being a man's man.
Yeah. So I was on vacation for last week and was able to just go down to Sarnia, see some family, went camping too, just completely just deplugged, unplugged, I guess, not deplugged.
Did you see any Sarnia Sting hanging out? Ty Void or like Ben Goudreau or any of the fellas?
No, My family lives by the Junior B Arena, though. I forget. Oh, what's the title? What's their name? Sarnia. It's like a. Yeah, there's like a junior.
Legionnaires, I want to say.
Legionnaires, yeah.
Legionnaires.
That's it. Yeah, that's the. That's the.
I'm weird for stuff like that.
That's the game I saw. Oh,
yeah. What? Sorry, keep interrupting you. It was like, friend.
No, it's okay. It was, I think it was 2017 or something. I saw a game of theirs. And like, it was literally all you could imagine. Dudes wearing Oakley and like Walmart Ed Hardy. And then girls that were like, there were a lot of fights and like,
yeah,
these like probably 21 year old girls with like a baby in hand and just like smacking the shit out of the seat in front of them, like hollering about the fight. Just like, yeah,
Junior B, like, Junior B, like out that way is like, not only is it very competitive hockey, like,
yeah,
I have some thoughts, but it's like when your team's called the Legionnaires and you're like a walking, you know, your jersey is like the Legion all encompassing onto one sweater.
It's perfect.
You're going to party, right? Like,
yeah,
I know you and Em love a Legion beer. That's what I've heard.
Oh my God, we love it. It's so good. But like their arena is one of those where like the seats are super steep. Like probably like 8 rows up. There's probably just 8 rows around the rink. And then the space behind them, like the actual path, is might be wide enough for one person. Like if you're crab walking. Like it's like nothing. And then everything's like downstairs and stuff. Like it's a crazy like small building, but it's so fun. It's just
Do you remember what team they were playing?
Oh, I have no clue.
Cause like so for people who don't know, Junior B doesn't really exist like where we live. It's mostly like Western Ontario. Because they don't have a Junior A league over there, which is a very contentious topic because those who don't know, the Go JHL has been pleading with the Ontario Hockey Federation and Hockey Canada to be given Junior A distinction so that kids don't have to live in an area where there's Junior A hockey. Like it's this big thing. But anyways, Junior B hockey is very, very good hockey. But for where they are, there's a lot of teams kind of in one small little bit of the, well, it's not a small bit of the province, but like,
it's that tip. It's just like the little like sliver and then it's like all right there.
They're cool though. I'm trying to think of a team that I've watched in the last couple of years. Go J. Like, I think the Strathroy Rockets have like the coolest logo. Dude, have you seen this logo?
I have to send it in the Zoom chat or
I will. It's like,
holy crap.
You all good?
I was so upset. I was so mad. My computer was like, we're going to update right now. And I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, I think we're good now.
Funny because you were like, yeah, these people are skating on knives. And then you just dropped. And I was like, what's the rest of the story? This is very, I want to hear more. This is good. That's okay. Thomas and I are just talking about the best logos in Ontario Junior B hockey. Do you have a favorite?
Oh yeah. Oh my, I don't know. I have no clue. I watch so little Junior B. In Ontario.
I like it.
I do. I hate it so much. And that's such a piece of shit to say. And I know that.
What don't you like about it, if you don't mind me asking?
It's just, I'm so used to watching Major Junior and I watch a lot of European hockey. And like, I watch like second tier European hockey and it's just such a funner game. Like, it's so much more skilled. And like, I'm a guy that likes the small players. So when a guy like, Ayrton Martino, and that's not Junior B, but Ayrton Martino's playing down under the OHL and he's a small guy who's getting roughed up and stuff. And I'm like, just let the guy play. I want to see
skill. Humongous fan of Martino. You and I could talk about that for a while. He played on a St. Mike's Buzzers team with a buddy of mine who I used to work with. His name's Cam Searles. You've probably seen him play before. He was the captain of that team. And him and I worked together. And he was like, you got to see this Martino kid. He's so good. Like, one of the best players I've ever played with. And he, at that point in his life, played with some pretty good players. And you and I can geek out about Martino as we move on. Let me let you finish your thought, though. You were going on this very strong kind of tangent about players skating on knives. I'll let you finish that thought.
So my whole thing with the players on knives. So everyone, when they ask me why I'm so excited about hockey, why I love the sport, it's because it is at the base level, dudes out there on ice with knives on their feet, hitting a rubber puck around with sticks. Yeah. And just the utter ridiculousness of that alone at the base level is just such a fun idea. And so with hockey, I love the game. It's just such an exciting sport. And now that we're going to faster and faster games, and it's just so fun. But as for the draft, it's just the hope. I love the fact that everyone every year ranks 100 guys.
Yeah.
When 50 guys out of the entire draft make it to the NHL as consistent guys. So we all like to think we're the smartest people in the room at the end of the day, but the reality of the situation is even the best NHL teams are hitting 30%. So it's a lot like baseball, where if you can hit 300, you're pretty good, damn good at your job. And in hockey, in the draft specifically, like, you don't actually have to be that good. Like 25% is really good for an NHL team. So if I can sit there and kind of boast that I'm around that, I feel I like pretty it. Good about myself.
So how did you get into the scouting thing? How did that all come together for you? And I mean, it's led to, some great insight from you. I know you were with Dauber before, and now you're with the Hockey News. How did the scouting thing come together for you?
So that's actually really interesting, because basically what had happened is 3.5 years ago now, I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get on Twitter. Like, I wasn't even on Twitter at all. Like, it wasn't a thing that I was super interested in, but to get the Leafs daily lineups and what's going on in practice and stuff, I joined Twitter. And then a buddy of mine was like, hey, you should write for this little blog, Puck77. And it's like this little tiny blog that was like run for one season. It didn't even finish the year out and stuff. But I ended up kind of doing a bunch of different things. I remember one of the things I was super proud of was I did an interview with Patrick Sandin, Rasmus Sandin's dad. And I put it out right on Father's Day, just like NHL prospect and what his perspective is. And when he was talking about all the hope that he has for his son and stuff, that was something that really kind of made me go, man, like, that's what it must be for like everyone in the prospect game. Like, you have so much hope for all these kids. And so I basically, after that, I started doing prospects that year. And that was a few years back now. And I was like, this is really interesting to see all these guys. And now that I've been doing it for a few years, I'm seeing guys like Moritz Seider, who I was higher on than just about anybody. I had him at 11 on my rankings, and most people thought I was crazy. And I wanted him even higher before I was talked down by someone who is fairly respected in the industry. And they're like, no, don't put him in your top 10 or no one take you seriously. But I had him at 7. I just love this German kid. And there was I would read German interviews and Google Translate stuff and stuff like that. And I just loved this kid. So I was super high on him. And now that no one else was really that high on him, everyone thought that was a crazy pick at the time. And I was really the only person going, oh, I kind of like that. That's bold. I'm into this. Now I get to brag about it and stuff. And I've had my misses as well. Connor McMichael was a guy that I was like, I don't think he's a very good player at all. And we're seeing that I was completely wrong on that one, because he's very good. So it's a really interesting thing where you're going to take your misses, you're going to take your hits, but like, it's just such a fun thing to do. And as a hobby, it was a ton of fun. And now that I'm getting a little bit of recognition out of it with the Hockey News and stuff, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I love that for you, man. I mean, it's exciting. I remember coming across your stuff when you were at Dauber, and then being an avid listener of your podcast, which, by the way, are we going to get a new prospects podcast from you at some point or another?
I don't think there'll be a podcast I regularly do, but because at this point I'm doing a podcast every week with somebody else, it seems. And I love doing that, because then I don't have to do the editing.
Best of both worlds.
But oh, yeah. In reality, yeah, exactly. Having fun, Thomas?
It's fine.
But no, like, I'll be on the Hockey News podcast from time to time as well, and I'll be doing a bunch of different things. So there'll be plenty of opportunity to hear me my steam.
Okay, Thomas, I've asked too many questions. It's your okay. turn.
Well, you're the professional. I don't know what I'm talking about.
The professional. Give me a break. I am I am invested in this conversation because I feel like I get to talk about prospects just a little bit on the show on a, you know, daily basis. And now we've got, you know, we've got somebody that we can kind of enjoy the conversation with. Thomas, please be my guest.
It's hard because, like, I do feel, maybe this is just my own opinion and my own feelings, but I do feel like the whole prospect area, and this kind of appeals to like every like professional sport, especially baseball too, I feel. But like the whole prospect game is like completely, I feel like, a separate thing. And you get to like reap your rewards later by seeing the players move on. Like, I think it was, it might've been Will Scouch or something that I was listening to a live stream of his or something. It's like, oh, when are you starting on the 2022 draft? And it's like, oh, I've already have like a list of 50 names or something. It's like, you just go through the cycle, an annual cycle that you have, that I don't think, like, it seems like very daunting for me. And it's just like, kudos to all the draft people that go through this cycle and like learn about all these players where like the normal mainstream media people don't know who like the third line winger is on an NHL team or something. Like,
no, and I think you're right there. Like, it's such a weird task to take on, and it does require a lot of time. And I have the benefit that my day job is very flexible with things, and I do CNC work. So when my machines are running, and a lot of time the programs will be like 4 hours, I have time to do what I want to do as long as my work's caught up. And my boss is very open with the fact that I watch hockey a lot of times at work, and it's nice because I do have that extra time. And then it's a lot of late nights and early mornings and all that stuff. But it's interesting to be one of the people that know the very few players that people don't know. And like I said, you end up falling in love with these guys that you're like, oh man, if some team gets this guy in the fifth round, oh, they're going to get a guy. And realistically, probably not. Like, that's not how it works all the time. So it's always fun to, when you get your hits, you get your misses and stuff, but there's a lot of people that take it too seriously. And I think Will's one of the perfect people that do this. He's one of my best friends in the business. And I think he does a great job because he's very open with, I'm not going to be right. And that's why he, every year at the draft, he drafts his own team. Basically, he uses the Maple Leafs picks and he takes the player he would take at that pick. And then he looks back and he has team scouting. And then you look back and you're like, that'd be a pretty good team right now. And it's one of those things that I think he does really well because he's able to kind of show the proof right away. He doesn't have to go back to his rankings. He can go, this is the decision I made at that pick. And a lot of times he's right. He's done a great job. So it's always fun to be kind of one of the people that know things that other people don't. And I think that's kind of the draw, like you said, of any of the prospects in any of the sports, especially baseball, where you're drafting a million rounds and these guys don't reach it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And then 8 years later, you're like, I called that one, man. Like, I did it. That was me 8 years ago. Right. So it's always a fun thing with that.
Do you enjoy the part of, you know, having public rankings available? Is that something that you ever kind of battled with yourself about? Just because I think the thing that I've enjoyed about your work and Will's work is the kind of conviction it takes to be able to say, this is my guy. This is where I would draft him. Whether or not he gets drafted there or not is kind of immaterial. From a public ranking perspective, how did that all come to be? Did that, you know, kind of feel good when that started, or was there a little bit of anxiety around kind of stamping your name next to your list for the first time?
Oh, it's incredible anxiety. The day I put my rankings out is just, I'm a ball of anxiety. And it's something I enjoy though at the same time. Like, I do love the fact that I'm able to kind of put my name out there and be like, hey, this is how I think it's going to go. Or this is not necessarily how I think it's going to go, but this is how I think it should go. And you got to put your opinion out there. And especially when you have a guy like, I know Will a couple years ago was huge on Murat Kuznetsov, and I was high on him as well, but not quite as high as Will. I think he had him at like 12, which is crazy because he got drafted in the second round, but I think he's done well since he got drafted. And for me, a guy like Moritz Seider, or this year an Ayrton Martino, I had Martino in the top 20 this year and he got drafted in the third round by Dallas. And me, I'm sitting there doing that thing where I'm like, oh, look at this third round pick. He's going to be a star. Yeah. And no one knows it but me. And who knows, this kid just got drafted. I love his game and stuff, but maybe he is a star. Maybe we're seeing a guy like Logan Stankoven who fell down and he gets drafted higher. And everyone's like, well, why did he get drafted so low? Well, he was small. Well, we didn't learn from Braden Point. We didn't learn from player X. And every year we're getting teams that go back on the old school approach. And I mean, we're seeing the Ottawa Senators bring in Pierre Maguire, and that's going to go great, I'm sure. but like, it's interesting to see what teams value, and you can see that in the draft, I think, more than almost anything.
Yeah,
I just know that Murat Kuznetsov is going to be a star because he's a Minnesota Wild prospect. So
there it is.
5'9".
You're not wrong.
No, I know, but it was interesting. Like when you talk about height and stuff, and like looking at just the Wild last year, because that was the first draft I covered with Hockey Wilderness, and they took 2 5'9" guys with their first two picks, and Rossi and Kuznetsov. But like, those are like so high skill guys that doesn't really matter like what their size is, and you kind of just take the best player available, especially with like where their pool was last year. But yeah, it's interesting to see all like the different, I guess, like you could tell what a team is thinking with some picks or like some classes, yeah. Especially like you mentioned Ottawa and this past year of it wasn't terrible, but it was a very
it was really bad.
I remember what, so again, we're gonna mention Scouch because that's pretty much where I feel like I'm smart enough to listen to people that actually watch the players. Like I don't have the time to like sit down and like watch like Tyler Boucher play a bunch of games, but I remember him saying something like it was terrible, but then it's like those players aren't bad. They're just like a bunch of like mid-round picks like that you would take. Like Tyler Boucher is like decent for like what he is, but you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was on the Locked On Sens podcast and they always have a ton of fun with me because I like to go on there and rip their prospect pool and their picks and everything. And this year was pretty easy to do. And I said to them, I'm like, I like Tyler Boucher as a player. I genuinely do. I think he's a good player, but like you probably should have drafted him at like the end of the second round or in the third round. Like 10 was really high, especially when you look at the other players that were there. There was so much skill and pace and just incredible players there that you're like, yeah, you got a guy that you can reasonably look at and go, that's a third line guy. But you pass up on a lot of guys that, although they might not have that like game breaking first line carrying potential, they could be the third best player on a first line, or they could be a guy that's a really key contributor on a second line. And they went with an elite third liner. And I think anyone that's a Leafs fan or follows the Leafs or just enjoys making fun of the Leafs, like myself, who puts myself in all three of those categories. But it's one of those things where you're like, man, remember the last time they drafted an elite third liner in Tyler Biggs? That went super well. And it's like, I felt like that was a lot of what the Ottawa Senators were doing with the Tyler Boucher pick. Cause like I said, I like him as a player, but it just felt really high to draft a guy like
that. Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And I think it's, you know, if I think about kind of winners and losers of the most recent draft, would you say that they would be kind of your big loser in the totality of the most recent draft?
Yeah, I probably would, because they had a decent amount of picks going in and they traded up and they traded guys kind of all over the place. And then they ended up with a bunch of guys that I look at their draft class and I'm like, I think Zach Ostapchuk is a good pick. But like you look at the rest of their class and like I was on their podcast and they were like Ben Roger. I'm like, that's a person. Like that's the guy that was created on NHL 21. Like that's not like they made up a name. Chandler Romeo. Okay. Like, sure. I watched him definitely last year. No, I didn't. Like I'm a guy that watches hundreds of prospects and they drafted a guy that I literally haven't heard of. I don't understand some of the decisions they made. And so, yeah, like even the guys that I do like, the Tyler Boucher, Zach Ostapchuk, Oliver Johansson, they kind of all went a lot, like a round or two higher than they probably should.
Yeah, for sure. Who would you say the winner was?
The Wild. And the Minnesota Wild.
I was just going to say.
The Minnesota Wild.
I feel good about the Wild. I feel like kind of prospects Twitter felt good about the Judd Brackett era, as it were. But where are you at, Tony?
Considering I had Jesper Wallstedt as number 3 or 4 on my board all year, I love the Wild draft pick, especially because I was a big Carson Lambos guy early in the year. Jack Parrott was a guy that I came on to late in the year, and I love his game as well. And I think Kyle Masters is a really interesting pick as well. Like I really like the Wild's draft, but if I have to choose a single winner, I think my winner is somewhere between Dallas and Carolina. I think Carolina, they got a bunch of players that are just, they were drafted a round too late.
Yeah.
All of them, like every single one of them could have gone a round higher and I would have liked the pick. Scott Morrow, Alexi Hamilselmi, Ville Koivunen. like Aiden Hreschuk, Jackson Blake, Robert Orr, like even the guys that like I'm not a huge fan of, like Justin Robita and Nikita Kwop, like where they got them,
it's great.
You're laughing. And they kept trading back and they kept trading back and they kept accumulating picks. And I'm looking at the page right now and I have to scroll up and down to see how many guys they drafted. It was ridiculous. And then with Dallas, I think they got a lot of the same thing. I think the reason I go with Carolina over Dallas, though, is because I wasn't a huge fan of the first round pick for Dallas. Wyatt Johnson's a good player. If you literally swap him and Logan Stankoven, though, and put Logan Stankoven in the first round and take Johnson in the second, I think that draft class is amazing. So I guess you can't really fault them too much because they still got both players. But getting guys like Jack Barr, one of my favorite players in the draft at 138, Ayrton Martino, who I love the kid, and they get him in the third round. Logan Stankoven in the second round, who should have been a top 20 pick, a top 25 pick at worst. Like they got a lot of value there. So I think those two teams, Minnesota, they did a lot of good stuff in this draft.
Thomas, do you feel any differently? Or
So speaking of kind of Carolina and Koivunen, Koivunen was like doing all like a lot of the research and stuff that I did like the 2 months before the draft, not to make light of your guys' work. But I just really, so that I could read stuff. But like Koivunen, and I got shit for hating on the Samu Tuomala pick from Philly in the BSH Slack. So like, and I got shit on because like people just saw his skill, but I was like, okay, Stankoven was there, literally the next pick. Chibrikov even, Koivunen, Ratti was still there. Like there were so many players that they could have picked, but aside from that, aside from like Philly just shit on, I really like San Jose as well.
Yeah, me too.
San Jose was a big one that they kind of just nailed Eklund, and then I'll have to look at the rest of their draft. I remember liking them. Cardwell, I loved. Yeah, and then like
Gurriev.
Yeah, so it's just like really just solid guys, like just solid players that you could really bank on, and like and led by Eklund, like you can't get really worse than that. Yeah, so like good. it's gonna be unreal, and he's already signed to his ELC, so we'll see where he goes from here. I don't know if he's going back to Sweden or not. I don't know if that's been decided somewhere.
I think he's going back. Yeah, it makes does, a lot yeah. of sense for him to
yeah
go
especially with like the his production in the SHL last year, and then just see. But I don't know, I feel like those are the like outliers, and I think Minnesota did pretty well, not to like just stay in Minnesota, but like you talked about Kyle Massas, and I literally just wrote about him today because he was in our top 25 under 25, and just like watching what he can do. And because, and obviously I think this is an important topic to touch on because it was such a weird draft from league shutdowns and everything. And we talked about it a little bit before, Tony, but just like it's such a weird way to go into a draft of just like, there's some players, like you mentioned Wyatt Johnson, that literally didn't play hockey. Ty Voigt, the Leafs first pick, just didn't play hockey that like this year. Like, it's just like, it's so weird to go through a draft where you're really banking on players that they did their own development. And obviously they did research and stuff, and Wyatt Johnson might look like a really good pick later on, just because he just progresses like crazy this year, especially in the OHL. But Kyle Masters is someone that hasn't even played 50 WHL games because he was injured his rookie year, and then this year was shortened, and like, and it was on a really shit Red Deer Rebels team. Like, it's just that, it's just like taking that and adding all that context and adding like, this is your literally like your worst situation because you're playing in the WHL, but you haven't played a lot of games either because injury or shortened season, and you're on like one of the worst teams in the league as well. But he still like shone a lot. Like, it was a very rocky first half, but then just like being able to kind of turn it on, be really mobile, and kind of like be everything that like a Wild defenseman needs. I don't know. I kind of just like that pick. Yeah. But yeah. Minnesota Wild.
No, I think Kyle Masters is a great pick, especially where like after it's at the top 100. Like, Kyle Masters has so many tools that you look at and you're like, okay, like this could be fun. Like, this could be a really good NHL defenseman. And I think one of the players that probably isn't getting talked about enough in their draft class is Carson Lambos, because at the start of the year, he was a top five, top 10 guy on most boards. For me, he was my favorite defenseman coming into the year. I'll be completely honest with you. And he went over to Finland, and he had a not great stint in Finland. He went over and I talked to him early on in his stint in Finland, and he was talking about how it's such a different game over there, especially with the style of game he plays. He plays a very aggressive attacking defensive game where he will be on you as soon as you come into the offensive zone. He's trying to cut down that gap really quickly. In Finland, when the ice is bigger, there's a little bit more room to cover, and there's some room that you're not expecting, and then guys slip around you, and he had some issues with that. And then by the time he came back and finally adjusted and was ready to go over there and played a couple pro games, he came back to the WHL, and it was like, oh, now you're injured after two games. And then he was out the rest of the season. And so he didn't even get to play where he's comfortable with. He went over to Europe, was completely uncomfortable, out of his element, learning a new language, learning to communicate with players that he's never played with, in on an ice surface he's never played on. And then he kind of fell. And so to get him at 26, I think there's a realistic chance. I think Minnesota got two of the top 10 players in the draft at the end of the day with what Jesper Wallstedt and Carson Lambos, if both of them work out to where their potential could be.
Yeah. And like I remember looking to Lambos too, like I think the most he played was at the second tier with 13 games. Like he went through all like junior, second division, yep, and pro in Finland, just like bouncing around. So like never comfortable with like the same roster too. Like it's so many factors with that just get overlooked of like the box score scouts or whatever, that like, oh, he got two, like, yeah, he got no points or whatever, all this shit. And then like, mm-hmm, but yeah, what can you do? And it's, can we like take a moment and just like shit on Edmonton for trading down the Jesper Wallstedt pick?
Oh God, Edmonton, just so good. Everything they do makes me hate them more. Just, I want everything good for Connor McDavid. I want good things to happen to him, and I want him to win a Stanley Cup. But God, I want it to be outside of Edmonton, because they just don't know what the hell they're doing, it seems. No matter who they bring in, any GM, any president, any assistant GM, they just love to just be Edmonton.
Yeah, I it's hard to disagree with that, to be honest with you. Did you?
I love going on Edmonton rants.
I mean, I'm here for it. I like that too. I think the thing with Edmonton is I think they get in their own way too often. And although I like the Bourgeau pick in the first round, I think them, you know, you never want to draft for position necessarily. Always take the best player available. But yeah, it's not great. I don't know. It's not great.
The thing is, like, they've been looking for the goalie forever. Yes. Literally since Dwayne Rolison. and like when they had Dwayne Rolison, he was 100 years old as well. So they were still looking for a goalie then, and they had one. They had a guy that people loved, and they were like, "Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see." And they just didn't draft him.
What was the pick? Okay, it was the third. It was the 90th pick. They got Luka Munzenberger. Oh, there, yeah, you go. Maybe. So Luka Munzenberger and Bourgeau for Jesper Wallstedt. There you go.
I mean, points for having a cool last name, but let me ask you this, Tony: was there anybody from that was draft eligible last year that didn't get selected that you thought would definitely get selected this year, but then went undrafted again? Is there anybody that
I know where you're going, Chris? I know where you're going.
No, I want to hear what Tony, I have some opinions, but I want to ask Tony first, because I thought that was something that kept coming up, right? Where people would, you know, they would look at, there's a player I have in mind.
A certain German player. A certain player that played on Tim Stutz's line in the World Juniors.
Florian Elias. Is that who we're talking about? Because I would agree with
there's
that.
There's two of them, but that's the first one. Let's start there.
Yeah, no. Florian Elias, yeah. I think he this kid's good. He's a good player. I don't know why no one's taking the chance. I don't understand it. So just draft this kid, because he's... You saw how capable he was of playing with stars. And I think we all know from Chris Kunitz's Olympic appearance, sometimes it pays to just be stars and just do, like, if you see a guy who's not a star on his own, but he's capable of keeping shots over, in Chris Kunitz's case, Sidney Crosby, that takes a skill in and of its own. And I think a guy like Florian Elias should be on an NHL roster eventually, because he can do that. And he may not be a first line guy. He may not be a second line guy, but I think he's going to be a capable NHLer at some point. And if I get to throw another name in there, and this is just purely selfish of me because I love him and he's tiny, but Juuso Maijanpää, the 5'4" fucking
buzzsaw. He's tiny.
I love this kid. There's no chance he's getting drafted, but oh boy, is he fun. And I think he's actually 5'5" now. There's rumors he's grown to 5'7", but that's definitely yeah, that's definitely some boosters in his shoes. But no, he's a ton of fun. He's got a lot of, like, he's got some of that attitude where the little guy trying to fight the big dog and stuff, and it's fun to watch. And hopefully I get to watch him for years in Finland's Liga, because I don't think there he's ever making it to the NHL.
There was a couple of other people I wanted to ask you about, because I felt like this was a hot topic the day of. Peter Reynolds not getting drafted. Do you have any thoughts about him?
Oh, I liked Peter Reynolds. I thought he was a guy that a team could go, you know what, there's tools here. He's got a lot of speed. He's got a pace to his game. But there's details he has to work out with. And can he kind of handle the puck at those speeds? Can he play his game while using the tools that he has? And sometimes he wasn't able to, but you see NHL teams all the time going, we can fix this guy. But instead the Ottawa Senators drafted Tyler Boucher.
St. John, I find is such like a polarizing team this way, because they also had Brady Burns that didn't get drafted and Josh Lawrence that didn't get drafted. And now you've got Peter Reynolds this year, all guys that I for sure expected to get drafted. So it's very weird for me.
Honestly, I think it has a lot. Like we look at a guy like Jeremy Poirier.
Good point.
He's the epitome of that team, I think, in what they've been for a few years now. And that's a team that does not know what defense even is, but loves to push the pace and skate and use the skill they have and just kind of try to win 10-7. And in the QMJHL, you can do that. And that's why they've been a pretty decent team at times, but certainly they've been an entertaining team. So it's going to be interesting. I think Peter Reynolds is one of those guys that next year he's going to get drafted fairly high, despite being an overager, and people are going to go, why wasn't he drafted last year? And that's certainly what I hope happens, because he's a player I really like watching, because he has the speed, he has the skill at times, he has the pace that you love to see at the NHL level, because it's just end-to-end hockey. But there's a lot to work on in the details of his game as well.
Absolutely. Thomas, do you have any questions about this past year's draft you want to add before we move on?
Not really. Like I know that you mentioned earlier when you were able to like hang out for the draft, like unable, like just kind of unplug a little bit and not like worry about super big reports or have to like give your opinion other than like podcasts like this or future writing, kind of the day of. But like, do you have a ritual or anything like that you did before and kind of returned to?
Oh yeah. Like I know this year I was able to kind of toss the TV on, bring the laptop out and just kind of relax. But no, most years I bring my desk out to my living room. I set up and I got like water and chips and a pizza. And like, I have food right beside me, so I don't have to get up. And then I'm tweeting out profiles and I'm trying to make sure I'm updating the website and stuff. So, but now with the hockey news, I won't have to do all of that stuff, but I'm still going to have the pizza and I'm still going to have the laptop out with the desk and the TV is still going to be going, and I'm going to have it muted because I don't want to hear about bloodlines all that often because I know who these players are. But it's nice to see that the picks come up relatively not quickly at all whatsoever in the last 2 years, but hopefully we get back to normalcy. But in this year, hopefully the plan the last 2 years was to be at the draft, and that didn't happen the last 2 years because the world ended,
yes,
which was fun. Yeah. But this year, hopefully I'll be able to get to Montreal and be at the draft and be able to do something from the floor, because that's the goal at the end of the day. I want to be at the draft and it's going to be a ton of fun. And this year, hopefully the world isn't completely ended.
Yep.
We'll see.
How are you feeling about, you know, the 2022 draft? I know it seems like as soon as the entry draft's done, there's like a couple of days, then there's free agency, and then people are back to their draft analysis prepping for the next year. Is there anybody that stands out to you, and why do you think Brad Lambert is better than Shane Wright?
Oh, that's sacrilege.
Oh my God.
That is terrible.
I had to throw it out there just to see what you'd goodness. Say. I love Shane Wright, but I love Brad Lambert. So it's a tricky one.
I do like Brad Lambert. He's a ton of fun. I think we're going to be seeing an interesting year, because this last year was a little bit of a drag because, I mean, in fairness, there was a pandemic, the leagues were shut down and everything, but it was a draft class that was a little bit lacking inspiration. Like you saw guys like Matthew Beniers be at the top of a lot of boards. You saw Owen Power go first overall, and you're like, those are great fifth overall picks. And that's what we saw at the top of this year's draft. But coming to 2022, it's going to be interesting because we don't have that. We have a lot of players who in many years, they'd go first overall. Like we're seeing guys like Shane Wright, Brad Lambert, Matthew Savoy, and a lot of names going, these are really legitimate prospects. I think you're seeing Maroshenchenko, the Russian kid, and Danil Yurov, another Russian, where you're like, oh man, the entire Slovakian team at the, the Hlinka this year was just a ton of fun. They were like a just a blast. Slovakian kids go in the first round, I think, realistically. So I think there's a lot of skill in this draft. We're being rewarded for last year's lacking draft, and hopefully every league plays this year. Hopefully we see all the players kind of in their element, doing their thing and being as good as they can be, because there's a lot of really good players in this year's draft.
Absolutely. I was curious to ask you a little bit more about how you think your process will change, because hopefully, fingers crossed for you and I both, we'll be able to get out to the rink as much as we had been in years past. Leaning so heavily on video scouting the last year, do you expect that you'll be in rinks more or less? How do you expect to find a balance that works best for you from a in-person versus, video viewing?
This is always my favorite question when people ask me, because I go, I'm not going to change a whole lot, to be completely honest, aside from being in rinks like I was beforehand. Like, I was in rinks almost every weekend, a couple years ago and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, like, I can't go to the World Juniors in Slovakia or Sweden or wherever it is. So I'm doing a lot of video scouting as it is. I can't go to Super Elite games or Finnish Liga games. So I'm watching any European kid, any kid out West, any kid in the QMJHL even on video for the most part. And yeah, I get to a lot of USHL games. I get to a lot of Ontario Hockey League games. I'm in Windsor, so I can hop right over the border to Michigan. I can go up to Toronto if I want to watch games up there and stuff. And I have a pretty good spot where I can get a lot of players in, and Plymouth, yes, likes to host international tournaments. So I certainly don't hate when that happens. And it's been nice. So I'm in a pretty good spot, but at the end of the day, like, most of my scouting is done on video, to be completely honest, because I have to. Otherwise I'm just covering the guys in Ontario and Michigan, basically. And I want to cover the Swedish guys. I want to see the Slovakian kids excel. I want to see which Russian pops out of the top of the class. It's going to be interesting. So I do a lot of video. I can't wait to get back in the rinks. I miss the rink so bad. The rink in Plymouth, the USA Hockey Arena, is probably my favorite rink I've been to. It's like such a good classic rink, and it feels like a almost like a high school rink, but you're seeing guys like Jack Hughes, Cole Caulfield come through there, and you're like, these are not high school players. These are very high-end players that are going to be NHL stars soon. And we saw Austin Matthews go through that program. So it's a lot of fun to see the kids live. But yeah, I do a lot of video scouting, so my laptop's always with me, and I'm always tossing games on whenever I can, whether I'm jumping on the treadmill or whatever it is.
How is your evaluation changed, do you think? Because I imagine it's probably changed a little bit with COVID and not being able to get out to a rink. Has that impacted your processes at all?
I think it has a little bit, but it's just like on the outside details, really. I think it's harder to get the feel for who the player is as a person when you're not being able to get in the rink. And that's why I think last year it was so key that I started doing a lot more interviews and stuff. And there were interviews I didn't even release because I just, there's too much. Like, I was just getting information on the player. It wasn't even a work thing. I was just trying to get, who is this kid? Right. And I interviewed guys like Scott Morrow, Fabian Liesel, William Eklund last year, and Jack Barr, a ton of names. And they went in the first and second rounds and stuff. And having the background on those guys and getting to know them a little bit, and a big feature that I did last year that I'll be continuing to do with the Hockey News is a video series that I do called Game Tape, where basically I talk to them for 5-10 minutes, like a standard interview. And then I go over, I pull out clips and I show them clips, and then we break them down together. I get their opinion on their own game. And I was basically inspired to do that from the NFL draft, because you see all the time, they get the quarterbacks in the room. What are you seeing on this play? What are you going to do? What's your kind of decision-making process? And how did you get to this point? And I started doing that with guys in the NHL, or guys in the NHL draft, because no one was really doing it. I questioned why. And when I started doing it, I went, oh, because it's very difficult, because the shift can be very different from time to time. So you got to take parts of shifts. You got to really kind of work to get a good clip of what you're trying to get out of the player and what you want them to explain. But at the same time, it's been extremely rewarding, because getting a guy like Scott Morrow on and even just asking him a question where it's not about his game tape, where I go, how much do you pay attention to the NHL draft? Because there's a lot of players that pay a ton of attention, a lot of players that don't pay any attention at all. And a guy like Scott Morrow, who's playing at Shattuck St. Mary's, a U.S. high school program, going, ah, I don't pay attention that much because every time I don't see myself at number one, I get a little pissed off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, let's do this. Like, this is the kind of guy I like. This is my boy. Yeah. And you get a bunch of guys like that. Matthew Coronado was really charismatic like that as well. Like, there's a lot of guys that had that confidence. And you hear rumors and attitude issues and stuff with certain players, and you interview them, and you come away feeling a little bit different from what people think. And then you have them explain that directly. Like, I remember there was one player specifically that a lot of people were like, oh, he has attitude issues. His team didn't like him, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
And I interviewed him once for the game tape series, and then I interviewed him twice outside of that just to see if I could pick up on the attitude issue, just to see what was kind of inspiring that rumor from people. And I asked him point blank. I'm like, people say you have an attitude issue. What's that about? And he just said, well, I'm a very confident kid. And sometimes, as we all know, confidence, especially in kids, comes off as cockiness.
Yeah.
And he explained the situation. It explained very maturely what his opinion of the situation was and why he thinks he has that label. And for me, I was like, that's all I needed. Like, you did what I needed you to do. You confirmed what was going on. And at the end of the day, like, a lot of times when a kid gets traded mid-season, the team's going to not be super happy about it, especially when he requests the trade.
Right.
So it's always an interesting puzzle to put together. But I think interviewing the kids was a really great substitute for not being in the rings last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I admire, you know, getting ahead of certain narratives that are sometimes pushed from people who don't know or maybe not as courageous to ask the question point blank. That seems to be coming up a little bit more frequently around, you know, character and things like that being, you know, questioned by some prospects. And I think sometimes it's completely warranted. And I think there's other times where people forget what it's like to be, you know, a 16, 17 or 18 year old kid. And most of the time are people that have not experienced what it's like to be an athlete to the level that these kids are, right? So I'm willing to give a little bit there to try and understand. So there's situations all the time where I don't think we're getting the full story. So anyways, that's a long-winded way of me saying that it's good that you have an understanding of how that all comes together. But Thomas.
No, and I think you're right there, right? Like, I was just going to say real quick is like, we look at, there's obviously players that shouldn't get rewarded. I think Logan Mayhew is the guy this year that we're all going to talk about, but
absolutely.
You look at that situation and you're like, there's a difference between attitude issues and being kind of a dick.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's, there's a big difference there, being a bad person or being just a teenager who's an idiot. And I think a lot of times it's a teenager being an idiot and they all come out of it. Like, we everyone loves to post that John Tavares picture on when he's got the blonde hair and the goofy shirt and stuff. And like, these are kids at the end of the day. Like, they're dumb kids playing in the OHL, playing in Sweden, playing wherever. And you look and you go, yeah, they're going to be dumb. They're going to make some dumb jokes and stuff. But then there's kids that cross lines. And those are the kids you really have to go, all right, now we have to really consider things. And is this the kind of person we want in our locker room? Is this the kind of person we want in our organization? And the Montreal Canadiens sure seem to
want. Guys, I've got to be honest with you. My wife just called me upstairs because apparently there's a centipede in the bathroom that I need to kill.
Solid.
We'll carry on. That's okay.
Yeah, just carry on. If you hear the water running in the bathroom, that's all it is. Now you know.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, like, I felt like a lot of the character, like, it's kind of a thing. It's an interesting thing when you come at hockey at prospects, like, really loving kind of skill and I guess the underrated players, or like looking for kind of the context of it, or looking for like the leg up on people. And like, I remember when I was really trying to do that and like interested in prospects, but like really getting like my head into like data and advanced stats, then be like, okay, like what's like the inefficiency that people aren't seeing or whatever. And then like, it's hard because then also like, I would also shit on people that thought character really mattered. And it was like kind of this like gut reaction. I don't know if it's like anything that's very similar or like anything that's just like, maybe it's just my immaturity, because I was like a teenager at the time, like trying to get into analytics and trying to like find this footing. But then like, as you like grow older and kind of understand like workplaces and like get that experience and stuff, you're like, yeah, like literally I don't like having a dude that you like clearly doesn't want to be there and doesn't give a shit, and like no matter how skilled they are, it really rubs you the wrong way and it rubs the whole like workplace the wrong way. So like with that experience and with that kind of like, I don't want to say maturity, but also like maturity, then like it's kind of owns in on like teams should be looking at a player's character. And like, aside from obviously like the criminal aspects of it, like literally this person's a criminal, then like, yeah, like if this dude isn't going to enjoy being here and isn't going to enjoy, like, isn't a very team friendly guy, then like maybe he'll slide down a bit, because I'll rather have like a B plus guy that is gets along with everyone than like an A guy that is a total dick. Like, it's just like, it's something that I thought that didn't matter at all, but then it's something that has crept up and be like, yeah, like it totally makes sense that kind of this old school mentality kind of exists.
Yeah, no, I think it's completely right. Like, I think anytime you're looking at a situation like this, and I think I'm a victim of it as well, where I do value speed, skill, the flash, the flair of a game so much. And obviously there's limits to that when you're just overly skilled and you don't have any pace to your game and stuff like that, there's holes. But I value those guys. I value the guys that have that ability to push the pace and the speed and the skill. But like you said, there does come that character factor. And I think the one thing I've pushed back on is you need the guy that's going to hit people. You need the guy that's going to truck people. You need Tyler Cleven. You need Roman Schmidt. You need those guys. And I think I push back on that in a lot of times. Well, people, that's a character guy. And I'm like, no, that's a guy that hits people. That's different. And I think that's where I push back, because at the end of the day, like, you can get anyone to go out and play hockey the way you want them to play. And maybe he's not going to hit as much, but if that's not his game, then you can't ask a player to play outside of his own game, because then he's going to detract from the strength that he does have. So don't draft the guy that can hit. Just sign him in free agency. It's going to be a lot easier when you sign him to an entry, or not an entry level deal, but a league minimum deal, or a $1 million deal. If you want the guy that's going to be really valuable in the draft, you need to get the guy that brings some skill to the game. And those guys sometimes have the physicality. You look at a guy like Tyler Boucher, as much as I joke about him and the Ottawa Senators picking him at 10, he's a guy that does have some offensive ability. He's able to push the pace a bit. He's able to kind of throw that body weight around. And we've seen that in this summer in some of the games he's played for the States. You look at a guy like Zachary Leroux, who, despite four suspensions in a shortened season, is a guy that has a lot of offensive ability, and he has the ability to get in a guy's face. And I think on a guy like Zachary Leroux, you look at those four suspensions and you got to go, okay, what happened here? It's a shortened season. Like, you only played 40 games. What are you doing? And you look at it and, okay, there's a fighting, and then there was an after whistle thing, and then his goalie got chopped in the groin and he tackled the guy and he got suspended for that.
Did he like flip off the ref?
You look at he flipped off the ref. So I look at all of his suspensions and I'm like, okay, like three of the four were pretty stupid. They wouldn't be suspensions at the NHL level, because it's fighting after the whistle, or it's fighting too many times in a season and stuff like that. But the one was flipping off the ref and spitting in a player's face. So you're like, okay, like, let's talk, Zach. What was going on that day? And you hopefully have them explain it, and you go, all right, well, we're not taking you in the top 15, but at the end of the first round, we'll take you. And that's what happened with him. So I think you want the skill, you want the speed, you want the physicality even, but you can't sacrifice the ability to play hockey just to get the physicality element.
Speaking of physicality, it was an earwig and I crushed it, and all is well in the Killingsworth house. Now you guys know.
Peace and love.
How about that? Peace and love. Robin came down and she goes, babe, you got to come upstairs right now. And anyways, Tony, if you haven't put this together already, I'm sure you have. We let it go a little loose around here on this podcast. We like to have some fun along the way. The production quality will often have weird noises going on in the background. It's just kind of how we roll.
Chris one time recorded in the middle of the Barry Mall. He recorded a podcast in front of his washing machine while it was running.
That was bad. That was a bad one.
What was another one? In your car. Well, and then we kept in you ordering coffee. What else? I'm trying to think of anything else.
I love
my worst one. My worst one. I was driving somewhere and I get called and I'm like, oh shit, like I forgot about this. And they come up on my speaker and I have the Bluetooth on my car. So I'm like, okay, this should be fine. And then my window rolled down. I couldn't get it to roll back up. There was an electrical issue. So the back window is just going off while I'm driving down the highway. And I'm like, all right. So I end up pulling off to the side of the road to finish this podcast. So I'm just sitting there talking to my car.
I love it.
Not fun. If it's good enough for Scott Burnside and Pierre LeBrun, it's good enough for us.
Yeah. When I realized how bad their podcast sound, there is nothing else that I could do that would somehow make it worse. But
We have a low bar.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I just discovered Cam Atkinson's Spotify profile. And since you're a music guy, Tony, because Chris, do you have any hockey questions left for the pod? Or can I divert? Can I derail this?
I would love if you would, only because I got nothing hockey left in the tank. No. Nope.
Okay, that's fine. So let's play a game and guess by the title what is in the the playlist.
This sounds fun. Oh yeah, because you had Tony. We're gonna start calling you Tony. Moving forward.
That's cool.
You had Tony on your other podcast. ESG.
Yeah. So I feel like some stuff would kind of hit, but okay, let's start this up. I'm gonna be writing this for Broad Street Hockey too. I just decided right now I'm gonna do a deep dive on the Spotify playlist. Let's do one that was. Can I see when it was created? Maybe not. Okay, there's one called "Feeling Myself." It is 13 minutes long.
Okay.
The whole playlist is that's only the shower 13. Playlist. Yeah, I was gonna say
that's the shower playlist.
Oh no, sorry, 13 hours. Sorry, 13 hours. He's really feeling himself. Yeah, I think this is from like 2016, I want to say. But yeah.
There's gotta be some Katy Perry.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't scroll through this much, but let's see. Okay, there's Feeling Myself. It's a lot of hip hop actually.
I'm gonna guess like he's like got like a little bit of like an EDM side to him. So he's got like some Tiesto and like DJ Snake and stuff on there. Is that accurate?
Lots of DJ Khaled.
Yes, absolutely. Drake probably is on there, I would guess.
There's a lot of Drake.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like Drake, Future, Kanye, Fetty Wap. That's how old it is.
Ooh, Fetty Wap.
Lil Wayne, Jay-Z. Yeah, it's like all like kind of the big 2010 hip-hop pretty much. Last song he added was Trap Queen. So that's, you could already say that.
I get behind that.
Okay.
I love him.
Let's do another one. Locker Room. All one word, of course. This one's 40 minutes.
It's got to be like Fort Minor.
Fort Minor, I love it. Yeah. Like the Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
Fort Minor? I want to say it was.
Um,
to be on it.
So I think you named someone already. There's DJ Snake.
Ah, knew it.
There you go. Mike Posner.
Mike Posner.
Yeah, bud.
He's in his feelings. I like that. Good for him.
And Flow Rida.
I like that. Oh, Flow, you got to have Flow Rida in the locker room, boys.
I like it.
You don't have Flow Rida in the locker room, you're not doing it.
I think
right.
That was 20,
bottom jeans.
I think that was 2015.
Flow Rida Pitbull.
Oh, Pitbull's definitely on there. Him. I'll tell you, I've never really been, I've told this story on the podcast before, but when I was on my honeymoon, my wife and I were driving through Miami. And when you listen to Pitbull in Miami, it all makes complete sense. All the songs.
Oh yeah, I
like
it.
You're physically where he intends everyone to be when he's yelling Mr. 305, because you're in the 305 and it all starts to make sense. That's my thought on Pitbull.
Okay. He has a playlist that's six songs that's just labeled playoffs. There's one,
I have no idea,
song that you're actually, it's so funny that's on here. It's Numb/Encore, Jay-Z and Linkin Park.
There it is. Yeah. Tony was right.
Beautiful.
Tony knows.
Just beautiful.
So perfect.
That's the remix right there. That's so, the one you got to get. Anytime you get into
it's
the
that, and then following it is Thunderstruck by AC/DC. So the playoffs, they're like,
for that.
I mean, back to back. Back to back, those are two solid songs. That's the softball playlist, boys. Oh,
one song into the other. I like it. I like it a lot.
One more. Let's do one more. He has a chill playlist.
I'm gonna guess Bon Iver's on there.
That's close.
A feeling I have.
There's one that's close.
Okay. Maybe like a little. Is like Tegan and Sarah or like something like that on there?
There's Angus and Julia Stone, whoever that is. I don't know.
Don't know him.
Literally no idea.
Does this ring a bell or? Oh no, my speakers don't work on my phone. Never mind. Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know this song, baby.
But it's the walk off the earth version.
Yeah. Oh, even better.
Good for him.
That's enough of that. He's very chill.
He strikes me as someone who's like very like in touch with that side of himself. Like that's not terribly surprising. Oh,
I love that he's on a team that I care about, honestly. Oh. Like that trade. He's like embracing the whole Philly thing too. Like he's going to Cheesesteak. He showed up his first player interview as a Flyer. He showed up in a picture that had Gritty on. He showed up in a shirt that had Gritty on it. Just like fully,
that's
beautiful.
Did you hear the story around that photo?
No.
Because it's a great story. So I listened to it on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, but basically the story is it was his son's birthday when he found out that he got traded, and Stinger, like the Columbus Blue Jackets mascot, was at the birthday party. He found out that he got traded when the Columbus Blue Jacket, like Stinger, the mascot, was there, like entertaining the children at the party. And he had a Gritty t-shirt that he put on. And apparently there's all of these photos with like him having Stinger in like a headlock ready to punch him in the face.
That's so
sick. That's
beautiful.
He seems like a fun guy. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah. A lot of like, I think the Flyers kind of basically, except Rasmus Ristolainen, but the Flyers, I think, just like, okay, stop. Don't make fun of the team. But they just like got a bunch of like fun, loving guys. Like Ryan Ellis is going to be there forever now. And like just kind of shifted the roster a bit that it's just going to be a fun locker room, except like misery before. But
okay, Tony, no, I have one more.
Alice, my boy.
I have one more hockey question for you. Which team got better in free agency? Which team got worse through free agency? That's the last one for me,
Thomas. Man, free agency. I'm trying to remember free agency. I feel like Columbus did a good job with the trades and everything before the draft as well and everything.
Yep, I agree with that.
Carolina sold their soul. Yeah. Signed Tony D'Angelo. I don't know. I barely even remember free agency.
It's hard. It was so long ago now, right? I'm trying to look.
I think I saw a chart where Detroit did well.
Yeah. I thought Detroit did well.
Just because they signed competent NHL players.
And got Nedeljkovic in net.
Yeah. It was New Jersey getting Dougie.
Oh yes, Dougie Hamilton.
Getting Tatar. They got Brendan Smith. They got Thomas Tatar. What else did they get? That was it. But yeah. I don't know. I think like one of those
probably worked. So there was some good and some bad.
Yeah.
Toronto did an okay job, I guess. Like Peter Mrazek's cool.
I love the Nick Ritchie signing. But I'm
Nick Ritchie signing seems like it adds what they need.
Yeah.
I
agree with that.
I like the chance on Andre Kasha. Like I like him as a player. So I think Toronto did okay. That's me being a little bit of a homer. Again, Detroit did well. I think re-signing Vrana to a pretty decent deal was good. Bertuzzi's on a decent contract. Like you said, Suter, Gagne re-signed. Edmonton did Edmonton's thing. I love that. That's Cody Ceci, Tyson Barrie getting bring all the Toronto Maple Leafs back together. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Oh, just what a crew.
So did you grow up a Leafs fan, or were you a Red Wings fan so close to the border there?
My entire family was Red Wings fans. So me being an idiot was like, you know what? I'm going to go for this blue team. And then I watched their team win a lot of Stanley Cups.
Yep.
And that sucked. But no, yeah, I've always been a very self-deprecating Leafs fan. And I hate the team with a passion, but I will be back in October, sadly, to cry my tears out until the fall until the spring when they inevitably lose to Boston.
Yeah, it's true.
It's going to be great.
It's true.
I feel like one mention of a team that got worse. I feel like Colorado got worse. I don't know.
Yeah. Losing Grubauer, I think, is a way bigger deal than people made it
like
seem.
Who's playing? Like Darcy Kemper and Pavel Francouz? Like, what the fuck?
I mean, both guys, pictures of health the last couple of years.
Exactly. Like, and Darcy Kemper, I feel like not that long ago, it was just like a guy. Like, he was whatever. Maybe I'm remembering his, like,
he's been years with the Wild for like 3 years.
Yeah,
he's been good. He's just never healthy. Yeah, that's his biggest issue. It's like you can't rely on him to be your starter. And then Pavel Francouz, whatever you want to call him, like okay, like he had a decent stretch of 5 games a couple years back, but he hasn't been great. So yeah. I don't know. Colorado, yeah, like they went from a team that I was like, man, this team should win the cup in the next couple of years to a team where I'm like, if they get a goalie, they should compete for the cup, but they need a goalie. I still think.
Yeah. They should make something, some sort of deal. Like the last time Kemper played more than 40 games was 2018-19, played 55. And that was his best season by far. 925 save percentage. Like best, like in total too. Like the next year he had a better save percentage, but it's just 29 games. Like it's tricky. Yeah,
whatever. All right. Well, listen, Tony, we've taken up a lot of your time. And as much as I want to hear Thomas rattle off, lies about Darcy Kemper,
okay,
we should probably let you go. Is there anything people can check out? Where can people find your work these days?
Find it on the Hockey News and Sports Illustrated's website. I just put a thing on Russian prospects, talked about guys like Vasily Podkolzin and a few other guys coming over, as well as a few of the draft prospects, Mereshnichenko, Danil Yurov and stuff. And I also wrote a fun little piece on the Slovakian team from the Hlinka Gretzky last week, so check that out because it's fun. I didn't really take it too seriously, and there's a ton of fun players coming out of Slovakia, which we haven't seen in a while, since a generation or two ago it seems. So it's a ton of fun. Yeah, something every week on the Hockey News. That's where you'll find me, usually Sundays. And when the season starts, I'll be doing those game tape videos again. So that'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Is there anybody that's like a close second in terms of favorite bald draft analysts? Or are you still holding down number one forever and ever?
I'm going to hold down number one forever and ever because I'm so goddamn good looking. But it's Josh Bell. Josh Bell would be my guy. Okay. I think he does a great job as well. He works over at FC Hockey. He's done a ton of really good stuff. And he's not quite as conceited as I am, but he's really good at his job. So I got to show him some respect too.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Much appreciated. Hopefully we can have you back again, to prep 2022 draft coverage. And have a great night. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem, boys. And hopefully my computer works next time and doesn't decide to update 5 minutes into the call.
That's okay. We can, we had fun. It's funny how it happened.
Yeah.
It is. It's probably the hoser's curse. I would make sure that your software is up to date before you go to bed. Cause that could cause some problems for you moving forward, but yeah, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing that's happened in an interview. That's for sure.
I'm just glad I could add to the chaos.
We appreciate it, man. Thanks again.